so good to be able to be in the house of the Lord today. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. As we take some time now to prepare our hearts before the Lord, one of the verses of scripture that just comes to mind as we were singing that song is from 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, where it says, John says, "How great is the love that the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God." And that, says John, and I think all of our hearts resonate with that, right? And that is who we are. That is who we are. As those who know and love Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord, we are children of God. Amen? Amen. Let's just quieten our hearts now before the Lord as we prepare for the message of God's word today. And so let's just take a few moments just of quiet. We've been raising our voices in praise this morning. We've been exalting our great God. And now let's just quieten our hearts before him and let the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jesus, begin to speak to us in the silence and the stillness. So let's pray. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you that you reminded us. You've reminded us this morning that you are a great and awesome God. That you are our Heavenly Father, the one who has set us apart, called us by our faith in Jesus Christ to be children of God. And that's who we are. And Lord, we thank you. We praise you. We exalt you today. We thank you, Lord, that we can shout your praises. We can sing your praises from hearts that are filled to overflowing with your goodness, your grace, your mercy, and your love for us. And Lord, we thank you that we can come before you today knowing that, you are with us always. And as we have been journeying with you this past week, we know that our feet and our cars and our bicycles and all the other ways that we move around in this world have taken us to places, and we've been involved in things in our lives this week at work or in family where we have experienced the good and the bad, the upsets, the joys, the sorrows. And Lord, we thank you that you've been with us through all of that. And Lord, today as we come into this house, your house, we come, Lord, as human beings who just really need a fresh touch from you today. Lord, help us to be able to set behind us right now, Lord, just to let go of all those things that would hinder us, the sins that have easily entangled us this past week. And Lord, help us now just to fix our eyes on you, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord, we know that you are the author of our faith. You're the one who began it all. You're the one that invited us to come and to follow you, to see who you are. And you're the one who continues to meet us every day on this journey. And you're the one that leads us on until that day that of completion, Lord, when we stand before you and we know, we are known as you know us as we are fully known by you. And Lord, we just pray that as we come today, Lord, from wherever we've been, that we would be able to just set aside all the things, these things, and be able to just focus now our hearts on your word. Your word that brings life to us. Your word that illuminates our hearts and our minds as we reflect on the stories of Jesus. Oh Lord, so lead us into an understanding of your truth today by your Holy Spirit. Guide us. And Lord, we thank you for this opportunity just to open your word now. Lord, all we ask is that you would speak to us, for your servants are listening. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Well, as we are making our way through the Gospel of John, we've been doing this study now for a few weeks. We're always in need, as we come to the study of God's Word, we're always in need to be reminded of what the end game is. You know, the end game. What was John's end game in writing his Gospel? Well, he states it for us in John 20, verses 30 to 31, when he says, Jesus performed many signs in the presence of his disciples, many of which are not recorded in this book. But these things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. Of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Now this is what John is all about in his gospel. Everything that he writes in the stories of Jesus, all these stories are meant to bring us to that place of being able to see Jesus for who he is and respond to him in faith. Believing and receiving from him the gift of life. So as John introduces us to Jesus in the first few stories that we've been looking at, he starts with John the Baptist's testimony about Jesus. Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And then the next day we're told that John tells us that John the Baptist released two of his disciples, Andrew, and another unknown disciple, who could possibly have been John himself, to go and to follow Jesus. And we looked at that last week. You know, they sincerely wanted to find out more about who this Jesus was. So in the first few stories from John in John's gospel, it's all about making connections with his readers. John wants us to make a connection with this person, Jesus. He wants us to see where we stand in relation to Jesus. You know, the first couple stories are all about, you know, are we intrigued by the claims that others are making about him? Are we curious about seeing for ourselves who this Jesus is? You know, this was the story of the two disciples who started following Jesus. And as we noted last week, the very first words that came from Jesus' mouth to these two men who were following him were, "What do you want?" Remember, we talked about that as an ontological question, a question that really causes us to really start to explore what's going on inside of us. What is it that we really want from an encounter with Jesus? What is it? What's there in our hearts? You know, this question that Jesus asked, these words from Jesus were an invitation, not just to these two men who were very curious about following Jesus, but it was a question to everyone who chooses to follow and explore Jesus. What do we really want in our relationship with Him? It's an invitation to us to come and see, as we looked at last week. Come and see who Jesus is and how those who seek Him will find Him as we encounter Jesus for who He is. So, in these first few stories of Jesus, John is inviting us to insert ourselves into the stories. The story. And in doing so, encounter Jesus as if for the very first time. So let's continue. Let's continue the story now as we look at John chapter 1, verses 43 and following. For in John chapter 1, verse 43, it says, The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. And finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. You know, it's really interesting when you read over these, John's stories of Jesus. There are some times like this. These little interludes where we get a little bit of information about what's happening in terms of Jesus' travel itinerary. You know, at first it doesn't seem like there's anything remarkable about the events that John has just described. It reads like an abbreviated travel blog or an itinerary. You know, I had done some work as a travel consultant, and you know, when you're talking with somebody about a trip that they want to take or whatever, you put together a whole itinerary of things that they're going to see and places they're going to go, and it all kind of goes like this, and you can summarize it all down into just a few words. And then if they say, "Well, I want more information," well, then you can explode it out for them, and they'll get a fuller picture of what this travel itinerary is all about. Well, this is like a travel itinerary. So, you know, at first it doesn't look like there's much here for us to really understand, but let's explode it out a little bit. Let's take a little bit of a closer look at what's happening here. You know, the next day, Jesus did something. You know, this travel blog, it kind of goes like this. Jesus did this, he found this person, he invited him to follow him, and what's the big deal about that, right? Well, there is. As Jesus started to make his way to Galilee, we see that starting that with that day after Jesus had met Andrew, Simon, and yet this unknown disciple who might be John, he says, we're told that all of these other disciples were, or all of these followers of Jesus were from a place called Bethsaida. And where is Bethsaida? Well, Bethsaida was a two-day walk from where John the Baptist was doing his thing near Bethany beyond the Jordan. And Bethsaida was located on the northern mouth of the Jordan River at the top of the Sea of Galilee. It was a fishing village. It was named Bethsaida, which means the house of fishing. And what better place for fishermen to come from? You know, Peter, James, John, a lot of Jesus' early disciples were all fishermen. So it just stands to reason that, you know, this was some place that Jesus was going to go, because we're starting to meet all of those who would follow him. So someday after meeting Andrew, the day after meeting Andrew and Peter, Jesus decided to go north to Galilee. And here's where things really get interesting, because, you know, John doesn't really describe why he went in that direction, but Luke does. Luke chapter 4, verse 14 says this, that Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. What's so significant about that? Well, did you catch it? Why did Jesus begin his journey northward to Bethsaida, northward into the region of Galilee? It was because the Spirit of God that was in him, propelled him along. In the power of the Spirit, Jesus was moved to head north to Galilee. Well, we're not told all the reasons why, but and who went with him in that journey, but he had just met Andrew, and he'd met Peter, he'd met John. And so it's possible that on that two-day trek from where they had been with John the Baptist, that on that two-day trek north, that Andrew, Peter, and John may have traveled with Jesus. You know, we're not told about all the details, but what we are told is that Jesus returned to Galilee, and he was on a mission. He was on a mission. A mission to find someone. And that someone was Philip. Jesus goes out and he seeks and finds Philip. John says that finding Philip, Jesus said to him, "Follow me." You know, again, you know, this story is so very condensed. It's very, very short on details, but what the details that we are given are just extraordinary when you meditate on them, when you contemplate what was going on here. For John doesn't fill us in on the details about who Philip was or where he was or how Jesus found him. What he simply tells us is that Jesus was looking for Philip. He was looking for him. And upon finding him, he invited him to follow him. Now, these two words, finding Philip, are such an empowering and reassuring statement as they relate to Jesus' overall mission to seek and to save that which was lost. You know, as I have done, I've been teaching you a few of the spiritual practices in these stories of Jesus. You know, one of the practices that I do is Lectio Divina. I don't know if any of you have heard of Lectio Divina, but it's the holy reading of Scripture where you take a passage of Scripture and you begin to meditate on it, you begin to reflect on it, you allow it to just go over and over in your minds. allowing the story to really just the Spirit of God to begin to speak to you from the passage, to bring to your remembrance or bring to your mind a phrase, a sentence, or a thought relating to that passage. And for me, when I've been studying this passage in that way, these words, finding Philip, just stood out. They stood out. It was just like they were bolded, they were highlighted, and they were blinking at me. And as I've reflected on it, it's amazing. Finding Philip. Jesus was on this mission to find Philip, like a shepherd, seeking, looking for one of his lost sheep. Jesus was looking for Philip. He was looking for him to extend to him the invitation, the opportunity to follow him. You know, it's really important to note something here about that. So far in the stories of Jesus that we've been looking at, all of the other people who have met Jesus so far had been introduced to him by either someone else or they were themselves seeking Jesus. Up to this point, everybody else has been looking for Jesus. Everybody else has been wanting to find him and to understand who he was and what he's all about. They were waiting, you know, and that's the posture, you know, most of the people in Israel were at that time. They were waiting for the Messiah, so they were hungry. They were seeking as they were pointed in the direction of Jesus. But in Philip's case, there's something different here. Something different going on. In Philip's case, Jesus was seeking him, was looking for him. Consider that for a moment. Reflect on that for a moment. The implications of that are extraordinarily mind-blowing when you consider it. The Logos, the Word of God in the flesh, the Son of God, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, was looking for someone. He was looking for Philip with the purpose of inviting him into a life-transforming relationship with him. Jesus was seeking Philip, searching for him. You know, as we'll discover, and as we are discovering in John's gospel, Jesus' primary mission was to redeem the world and to call out those who would take his message of salvation to the whole world. Finding Philip, Jesus was fulfilling this mission by inviting Philip to follow him. Follow me, Jesus said when he found him. You know, we're not given all the details of their encounter, but we are given the impact of these two words on Philip. Follow me. Follow me. These two words, follow me, were an invitation to embark on a life-transforming journey for Philip and for all who would hear them spoken to them by Jesus. And these were familiar words that John shares over and over and over again. When people came to see Jesus or when Jesus found them, he encouraged them to follow him. So when Philip heard these words, notice what his response was. His response was, well, okay, I'll think about it. No, that wasn't it. No, Philip's words were, I'm all in. I'm all in. I'm ready Jesus, to follow you. And you know, and it's really interesting here. It's like Jesus had tagged Philip and said, I found you, now you're it. You're it. Now go find someone else, tell them what you know, invite them to come see for themselves, and bring them along with you as you follow me. Now this is again, the condensed story version here is, and I love it. I love this part of the story because it really is so authentic and relatable. In John chapter 1, verses 45, it says, Philip, after he had found by Jesus, Philip went out and found Nathanael. And he told him, we have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote. We found Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Guess what? He's the Messiah. He's the Messiah. You know, Philip finds one of his best friends, and he's so excited about what he's discovered about Jesus. He says to Nathanael, remember the other day when we were discussing what Moses said in Deuteronomy 18, 15 to 19 about the one that the Lord would send in the power and in the spirit of Moses the prophet? Remember what we were talking about relating to the Messiah? Well, guess what? I've found him. Actually, no, I didn't find him. He found me. He searched me out and found me and said, come and follow me. In his excitement, Philip just let it all out with his friend. And then he waited for his friend's response. And I just love it. I love the way Nathanael responded. Nathanael just looks at him. And with words dripping with skepticism, Nathanael says, Nazareth, can anything good come from that place? Can anything good come from there? You know, what an authentic response. You know, it was a response, if you know anything about the history of that region, and you know, there was a lot of stuff going on in that region between Nazareth and Cana, you know, which was where Nathanael was from, Cana. They were competing in that area for the economic prominence in the region. And so there was this prejudice. There was this, you know, skepticism about anything coming from the other area. And so, you know, that's what really covered or colored Nathanael's response to Philip's invitation to come and see Jesus. And you know, have you ever come across someone who's like Nathanael? When you are so excited about who, you know, sharing the gospel with somebody and telling them about Jesus and sharing with them the stories of Jesus, and they just look at you and kind of go, what in the world are you talking about? How could that, you know, be the case? You know, how could this Jesus who was so long ago, how could he be God? You know, so much skepticism. There are a lot of people who are skeptical today. And sometimes we get deterred. Sometimes we just back off. We don't know what to say. We don't know how to respond to people who don't really want to hear what we have to say about Jesus. But, you know, got to give it to Philip. Philip wasn't deterred by his friend's skepticism. And Philip didn't engage him in a debate. He didn't try to debate about who Jesus was. He didn't try to even explain anything about Jesus. He just simply said to his friend Nathanael, "Why don't you just come and see for yourself? Why don't you just come and see? Hang out with us for a bit. Hang out with me for a bit with Jesus." You know, I just love the way that John is such a master storyteller. With these words from Philip, he's tying us back to Jesus' words that he said to the two men who were starting to follow him. When he said, "Come and see who I am," you know, they said, "Well, where do you live, Jesus? Where are you hanging out?" And he said, "Come and see for yourself. Come, just come and follow me. Come and see for yourself who I am." You know what this really just sets out there for us is that whether we're curious or whether we're skeptical, know this, we can find the life we're looking for by simply coming and seeing who Jesus is. Being willing to open ourselves up and follow him. But you know, it will take something. It will take something. For all of us, it takes something to really be able to listen without bias or prejudice. Not just to the truth about Jesus, but in our everyday conversations with people around us. And because today we're living in a world that is so fractured, so polarized, it's hard to have a conversation with anybody anymore. Because as soon as we start to reveal anything about where we stand about something, oh, someone else has, you know, just rails against that, or they may have a different view, and then it's almost like you're enemies. It's almost like you're, you know, we're so polarized. And why is that? Why is that? Well, as human beings, we all have this tendency. This tendency to create one another in our listening of each other. And what do I mean by that? Well, how we listen to somebody is how we create them in our mind and in our heart, even before we meet somebody, or just as we're meeting somebody, that first impression. Dare I say, you know, if someone says, "What do you think of Donald Trump?" Oh, all of a sudden, we've got our hackles up if we're someone who doesn't like Donald Trump. Or all of a sudden, you know, it's, oh, you know, if someone really likes him, well, then they're going to be lit up. But, you know, we then respond to how we're listening to that person, how they respond to us. And all of a sudden we create them in a way that, oh, I got to step away from this person. Oh, or I can move towards this person. We create people in how we listen to who they are, what they say, how they act, how they smell. Oh yeah, we don't even have to, you just have to get near somebody. And if they smell like marijuana, or if they smell like something else, we can just walk on by. Because we create people in how we listen to them. You ever found yourself doing that with people you've met for the first time? It's hard not to. How we listen to someone, though, can either make or break a relationship. And I got to give kudos to Nathanael for overcoming his skepticism, overcoming his biases, and at least giving Jesus a hearing. For when Nathanael approached Jesus for the first time, something extraordinary happened in his relationship with Jesus. And we see that in John chapter 1, verses 47 to 49. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said to him, "Here is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." And when Jesus looked at Nathanael, he saw him for who he was. And he created a listening of Nathanael as someone, as an Israelite, who was honestly willing to test for himself the truth of the gospel of Jesus. Someone who was willing to put aside his skepticism in order to engage in a dialogue for life. And with these words, Jesus was saying to Nathanael, "I see you. I know you. I know who you are. And I accept you for who you are as you come to me." Nathanael's response to Jesus is an indication to us of the transforming power of generous listening. All he said to Jesus was, "How do you know who I am? How do you know me? How do you understand who I am?" Jesus' words to Nathanael had created an accurate reflection of who Nathanael saw himself to be. He was amazed at how perceptive Jesus was, and he wanted to know how he knew who he was in his heart. And so Jesus responded to him in a very personal way. Just take note of it. He responds to him with a word of knowledge that completely opened up Nathanael's heart to Jesus. Jesus answered him. He said, "I saw you. I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." And then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Wow. How did you see me?" Jesus saw him, and he told him where and when he saw him. You know, Leon Morris, in his expository reflections on the Gospel of John, he makes this observation about this part of the story. He says, these words from Jesus clearly meant a lot to Nathanael. But it's not at all obvious to us. Why? For we notice first that the words, "before Philip called you," are put first in Jesus' reply, and are thus given a certain emphasis. Jesus is not speaking of something that took place as a result of Philip's call. What he's speaking about had taken place at an earlier time. It seems fair to say that Nathanael had some outstanding experience as he studied his Bible or prayed in the shadow of a fig tree at his home. What it was, we don't know. What this experience of God was, we don't know. But Jesus knew, And his words showed that to Nathanael. Even before Philip found Nathanael and invited him to come and see who Jesus was, Nathanael had been having some kind of an encounter with God. And when Nathanael came to Jesus, was introduced to Jesus, Jesus said to him, "Hey, remember when you were sitting over there under that fig tree back at home? I was there with you. I was there. God, I was there with you. And I know you. I know you that well." And Nathanael was amazed. And not only amazed, but his heart was stirred towards God, towards Jesus. And once again, I marvel at how John expresses this part of the story, setting us up to come face to face with and deal with our own skepticisms, putting them aside in the presence of the Holy Spirit empowered, perceiving Jesus, who does not need any testimony about mankind, for he knows what's in the heart of each one of us. Jesus knows what's in each and every one of our hearts. You know, when Jesus saw Nathanael, he welcomed him with full knowledge of who he was. It created the space for Nathanael's listening of Jesus to be radically transformed. From his skepticism melted away as he now saw Jesus for who he longed for, who he desired for Jesus to be. His teacher, the Son of God, his King. The King of Israel. Without a doubt, Nathanael came to that place of faith in Jesus. You know, John's purpose for sharing this touching, moving, and inspiring story of transformation is to plant in our minds and in our hearts the truth that, like Philip and Nathanael, we too can experience the life-transforming power of God's grace and truth in Jesus. And we too can enter into this mind-blowing experience of life that comes from believing in Jesus' name. That's what this is all about. You know, I remember in a poster that I had in my room as a teenager, and I think it was in, I think I brought the poster to the dorm at OBC, my first year at OBC, when I had a roommate. His name was Jacques Nadeau, and you can kind of testify, I think. It was a poster with a bunny rabbit on it and a piece of wood. And it said this. It said, "To have found Jesus is not the end of our search. It's just the beginning." Right, Jacques? Right, Jacques? Remember that? Yeah, Jacques is here today, a friend of mine. I haven't seen him in 40 years. He's a pastor not too far from here in Newcastle, and he just showed up today to just check me out, I guess, after 40 years. So good to see him. So good to have him here today. Just reminds us, you know, that there's a beginning. You know, when we start to follow Jesus, it's not the end. It's just the beginning. And this is what was happening in Nathanael's heart right here. You know, and as I believe this last part of the story today is a reminder to us of this reality that when we begin, it's not the end. Listen to what Jesus says to Nathanael. He says, very truly, I tell you. Very truly, I tell you. You believe because I told you, I saw you under the fig tree. But you will see even greater things than that. He then added, very truly, I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God descending, ascending and descending on the Son of Man. In other words, Nathaniel, you know what you think is amazing here, that I saw you and knew you, you will see even greater things than these. As you put your faith in me, as you trust in me, there is so much more to come on this journey. And so Jesus is saying to Nathaniel here, you think what I've told you so far is faithworthy? You ain't seen nothing yet. You ain't seen nothing yet. You will see greater things than these. So, Nathaniel, keep following. Keep following me. Keep reading the stories of Jesus. There's still more faith-forming things to come. Jesus said to Nathaniel, very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. What does all that mean? What does that mean? Well, with these words from Jesus, John is giving us a little glimpse of what's to come as he unfolds the stories of Jesus. How Jesus will fulfill the promises the Lord made to Jacob in his dream that night as he slept with a rock for a pillow in the place he called Bethel, the house of God, in Genesis chapter 28, verses 13 and 15. See, that's a direct reference back to the Old Testament. And we would miss that if we were just thinking, well, we're just reading this as a story and going, oh, that's interesting. What does that mean? Well, go back to Genesis chapter 28, verses 13 to 15. Read for yourself what that story of Jacob is all about. With this reference to Jacob's dream, Jesus was inviting Nathanael and all who would follow him to step out in faith like Jacob. Take a risk. Come and see what the Lord will do for those who follow him. And as we see in Jacob's response, after seeing the Lord in that dream, that night, Jacob made this vow to God. He said, if God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey that I'm taking and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear so that I return safely to my father's household, then the Lord will be my God. See, what Jesus was affirming to Nathanael was, like Jacob, when you see me for who I am, when you start to follow me, when I seek you and I find you, and you seek me and find me and desire me with all your heart, you will be transformed. You will be changed. You will become a child of God, like we were singing about earlier. Jesus says, come, follow me. With this story, John is inviting each of us to leave our skepticism behind, to stay curious, and to be courageous as we step out on this journey with Jesus. For this is just the beginning, my friend, when we put our faith in Jesus. And as we step out and as we put our faith in him, if we take this step, we will see even greater things than what Philip and Nathanael saw. We will see God begin to transform our church, our neighborhood, our province, our country, our world, as we allow the Spirit of God to really get a hold of our lives. And help us to be the witnesses that God has called us to be. So let's just keep following Jesus on this journey together. Let's pray. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the way that you teach us, the way that you speak to us, the way that you guide us into your an understanding of your word. And not only that, Lord, thank you for the way that you break down our skepticism, the way that you help us to really begin to see you for who you are. And it's all because you know us. You know us better than we know ourselves. So, Lord, we pray today that in all things we would give you the glory, that in all things we would yield to the work of your Spirit in our lives. And Holy Spirit, just continue to empower us to be faithful followers of Jesus so that others might be able to come and see who Jesus is. We pray all these things in Jesus' name.